You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
We're the Springers. Welcome to Tim Talks.
Hey, thank you, Springer family, for your opening today. That was
Amen.
Awesome. Great
Amen.
Family. Great bunch of little kids. Yeah. Yeah. They recorded that a few weeks ago, and with our recording schedule, I just wasn't able to get it into the podcast. So they've been waiting for that, and I'm glad they're waiting, and I'm glad they've been listening. So there you go. That's the Springer family. They're from Michigan.
Awesome.
And they listen often, and they're a good group of kids. I'm going to be with them later this year. I'm looking forward to that. They've just been in that church a short time. Became pastor during COVID. That's always an exciting adventure.
Man.
Coming to a church in the middle of an epidemic, pandemic. Oh, my goodness gracious. Unbelievable. Hey, some good news for a change. Good news. Our church in St. Thomas had church under a tent Sunday and had 140
awesome.
People in attendance. 140-some. That's great. Bad news is the police showed up twice.
Oh, my soul.
But they were good. Pastor said they were really good. They came in. They said, hey, we took our sweet time getting here. You know, no problem. We just have to check it out. If somebody calls and says, hey, what's going on? We just have to check it out. So they did. And no problem. So he says, hey, we're going to be doing this for the next 4 weeks, just so you guys know, this is how we're doing it. And they're like, oh, that's great. That's awesome. So that's good news. I'm glad for that. And our church was able to get back together. And
yeah, that's awesome.
Look forward to that day. Look forward to that day when we can do it under the roof of the Bible Baptist Church, built by the hands of Al Stone and Mike Collin and several men of the church and a couple of contractors. It'll be great. And then the other thing, this week while we record this, I'm with Brother Andrew Stensis, who's been on our program.
Amen.
And you were just with
great
a few
guy.
Weeks ago. And I'm with them. Yes, I'm with them. Their church is doing phenomenal here in Eaton, Ohio, about 9,000 people. And they had 250 on Easter Sunday. And just a great, great church, great spirit. They said it was finally good to get some good preaching for a change in their church. And so I was happy to accommodate that. And I said, how did you guys enjoy Brother Wolven? And they said, who's that? No, they said they had a great service with you, great time with you. And so Sunday night, we've been joking back and forth, as I always do with every preacher, but he said, well, I've got some sad news for you. I said, here's a very sad commentary, he says, on what's happening in Brother Stone or Brother Wolven's lives. And he played our podcast at half speed, and you can do that on iTunes. I don't know if you can on the other ones as well. I'm sure you probably can. So he played at half speed. Brother Wolven, here's how we sounded.
What was it called? Smoky?
Smoky Robe.
Smoky Robe.
Yeah, the street's
Brother
name
Church.
Is yeah. Smoky Robe.
Smoky Robe.
So, that's about the closest to Smoky Rose that we're gonna get.
We are gonna get that picture. We're gonna stand in front of that sign and get that picture and put it on our Facebook page. Smoky Rose. Oh man, that was a class.
Oh man. Hey, I sound taller. Let's do that all the time.
Yeah, but I'm so inebriated, I can't figure out how to do it. That's hilarious. We probably shouldn't tell people about that, because that's how they're going to do it. You can also do it. You can also do it in 1.5 or 2 times speed. Oh my goodness, me and you at 2 times. Oh my goodness, it's Elvin
that
and the
Chipmunk. That is hilarious. I didn't know you could do that.
It is. Yeah, check it out. It's really good. I knew you could do it faster, but I never thought to do it slower. And it's hilarious, man. Your laugh is so good at half speed. yeah, something like that. Something like that. Well, listen, I got a great article sent to us. It's not from an independent Baptist, but he has some great points. And Becky sent this to us, and Becky is a habitual listener to us and has been with us, I think, almost from the very beginning. And I think Brother Springer's been with us from pretty close to the beginning as well. So I appreciate that. And I found out we have a number of listeners here in Eaton, and Pastor was really good to promote us. Man, he's really promoted us heavy while I've been here. So that's
yeah, I know
awesome.
He's pushed it real hard. But, there's probably Becky about Pointer. Two more people listening now.
Yeah, I think 1-7 and the other one's deaf, I think. I think they're deaf. But Becky Pointer sent this to us, and she does a great job of sending stuff in. I love it. She's really got a great sense of where we're at in our Christianity today. So she sent me an article. It's by a senior pastor of a church out in California. His name is Brett McCracken. I've never heard of him. I've never read anything from him. He wrote an article, I guess it's a blog, called 21 Challenges Facing the 21st Century Church. And though he's not an independent fundamental Baptist, many of his points make him sound like an independent fundamental Baptist. So I gather from this that it's not just us who are sometimes perplexed or struggling or trying to find a way through this century of church. And he brings up some great points. And I thought, I'm not going to read the whole article or maybe even parts of the article. I'm going to give you the main points and kind of see what you think about it.
Yeah, I'll quote him a little bit. We can go 7 points a podcast and get through it this week.
Right, right. So we'll do that. So the first thing that he brings up, 21 things, biblical illiteracy. And he says this, that a survey has found that 82% of Americans think God helps those who helps themselves is a Bible verse. 12% think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, and 50% of graduating high school students think Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. Biblical illiteracy.
Well, it's true. It's on the rise. I mean, used to be, all of the popular names were names found in the Bible. You know, now it's not. And I've mm-hmm. noticed that over the years, and of course, there's a lot of reasons for that. I think you've got a lot of immigration from nations that are historically non-biblically, educated. Right. But of course, even our nation itself has really gone away from biblical literacy. And then, the larger neo-evangelical churches today, they don't have doctrine. And so if you don't have doctrine, you don't have Bible teaching.
And I find that people just don't read in general. It's not just the Bible. A lot of people watch videos, listen to podcasts. There's not a lot of reading. And so that's a problem in and of itself. And then we have an education system. My sister-in-law, Joyce, just the other day showed me an article that I'm going to say a number, but don't quote me because I'm not sure that's the exact number. But it was around 60% of the kids in the Cleveland public school system are illiterate. 60%.
I would believe that after running the buses through half the city. I would definitely believe that. And I right. haven't been there for 19 years. So I definitely believe that for sure.
Right. I know my wife and girls, work in our kids program at our church, and they said many times kids in grade 3, 4, 5 did not know their address, did not know their phone number, could barely spell their names. And so we have a real problem in our school systems. We're pushing kids through that don't know how to read, and that then comes into the church. So that was one of those problems. Let me give you the next one is presence. He talks about, Christians through God's teaching and God's instruction that we should be in the presence and connected to God and one another through, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we're so busy today, and we're going in all kinds of different directions. We don't have the presence of God in our lives, and we're not present before God. We're not present in our Bible reading. We're not present in church a lot of times. We're not present in the functions of the church, and so we kind of lose that. And we prioritize. Let me say that again. I'm going to quote him here. He says, "The church must reprioritize its vocation as presenters of God's presence in the world." So there's also that idea that as Christians, we have to present Jesus Christ in the world. And I would have to say that most Christians are becoming more and more silent, or, what's the word I want? Outgoing, I guess, with their Christianity. That's
well,
a problem.
You know, people need to know the Lord. And he says to do so, we must cultivate habits and liturgies that create the space and contours for that presence to be felt and known. Some of that is almost the idea that, that we have to create, clear out room for God to work, which, you know, wouldn't be always accurate. I would think if you're going to be dealing and tackling with that aspect, I would think that we ought to be, you know, more or less looking at being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, that believers that are filled with the Holy Spirit are going to be different in their, you know, as whatever presence they're in, they're going to be different, and they are going to be making an impression on people, good or bad.
It's funny, the next thing he brings up is disembodied tendencies, and he talks about how people are becoming more and more interactive through a screen. And I'm not sure when this article was written. I don't think it's that old. I didn't see it when I was reading through it. But
October,
he says churches should find ways to encourage physical gatherings. Oh, okay. So imagine this. 2016, here
Five
we are
years
in 2021.
Ago.
And he says this. Churches should find ways to encourage physical gatherings. Imagine.
Yeah.
This guy saw it coming. Shaking hands and hugging each other, whatever it takes. And here we are in the 21st century. Don't dare shake hands. Don't get in a room with people. Don't take that mask off. And missing out on that. And he says anything to resensitize people to the fleshly reality of the church world. And that's something that's missing. And that's what I've been trying to say over these last number of months to our pastors. Encouraging for people to get back as soon as possible, because it's kind of like the baby that's left in the crib alone. That baby will die without the touch of other people and that interaction. That baby will die. You can nourish it, but it'll die. And I talked to a nurse just, you know, a few weeks ago that said that people in our nursing home are dying because of loneliness.
Oh, yeah.
And because they can't see their families. Yeah. And I think churches are getting that way somewhat, because we'll put it all online. And I know we need an online presence. I know that it helps people that are shut in or traveling or whatever, but that can't be the only church that we're getting. We've got to have that interaction with other people.
Well, you know, we have, I don't know what we've done, whether we've done injustice to the scriptures or stretched the scriptures or whatever, you know, I mean, but, you know, taking the concept of, well, we're meeting online. You know, we're not gathering together, though. You know, you're still apart one from another. We're able to connect, and that's a blessing, but you're still not gathering together. You can't say that we're gathering online. You know, we're connecting maybe, but you aren't really gathering.
Right. And that the whole idea of church, the called out assembly, and that's, you're not assembling, I don't feel like, maybe some people do, but I don't feel like I'm assembling with the church on a Zoom call. I don't feel like I'm assembling with the church watching it on Facebook or, you know, online. I'm a very physical person in that way, that I want to see, I want to hear, I want to shake hands, I want to embrace. There's a little girl here, Brother Wolven, just a tiny little thing. She's as cute as a button. And I gave out some Captain Canada coloring books. And she was so excited to get a coloring book. And she came up and she said, "Thank you for the coloring book." And I said, "You know what?" I said, "I miss my grandkids." And I said, "They call me Big Poppy." I said, "You can call me Big Poppy." So she goes, "Okay." So they were leaving. She's walking out the door and she turns around and she goes, I love you, Big Poppy. I was like, oh, man. I almost started crying right there. So they came last night, and Mom and Dad were standing there, and they said, go ahead and tell them. Go ahead and tell them. And I knelt down, and I said, what do you want to say, honey? And she said, I love you, Big Poppy. And she wrapped her arms around my neck, you know, and hugged me. I gave her one of my patented shaky hugs. I take the kids and I shake that's them real awesome. Hard, you know, and I say, that's a shaky hug. And so her sister was there, and so we all had shaky hugs. You can't do that. You can't do that on the internet. And, man, that's just something that we desperately need. So that's one of those things. Here's the next one. Let me throw this to you. Compartmentalization. We live our mediated lives via windows and boxes. We chat with multiple people at a time. Post one fragment of our lives here and another here and consume visual media in one window, read the Bible in another. All of it makes it easier to fracture our lived experience into disconnected compartments. Compartmentalization. I'm not sure if I understand completely what he's saying there. I don't know if you get a better feel
of that. Yeah, I think what he's trying to express is, you know, the idea of, okay, let's click the switch on, and now I'm in church. I leave church, I click the switch off. Now I'm at work, okay. I click that switch on. You know, I'm out playing right. softball with my buddies. I'll click that switch on. So, you know, you've got your little compartments that you go from place to place to place. And whereas our right. lives as believers ought to be in whole, in total, centered around the Lord, whether we're at work, whether we're playing softball, no matter what it is, it's the wholeness of the Lord, and not just compartmentalizing. And I think that's probably a pretty good point.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. Let me give this next one. He talks about boredom, how people are so basically just bored today. All we do is binge on Netflix, and life doesn't have a whole lot of excitement sometimes. We try to portray that in our Instagram account or Facebook or TikTok or whatever, but we're not really all that excited about things anymore. And he talks about churches that are naturally tempted to use gimmicks and trendiness to solve its problems. And we've said that for a long time, that we kind of got away from personal soul winning because we thought, well, we'll just have a big program at church and we'll invite them to that. The problem is you can't compete sometimes. I can't compete with Hollywood. I can't compete with an amusement park. I can't compete with a professional sports team. And so as a church, how do you keep that going? And when we really need to get back to the basics of, we just come to worship. And if nothing else has happened in this pandemic time, I think a lot of churches have come to that realization. They've come to the point where they realize we're just trying to do too much, too big, and we need to get back to basics. And I'm telling you what, I'm loving these churches here in the United States that are back through this and still somewhat going through it. But man, they're just excited to be in church. They're just excited to be back together. They're just excited to hear preaching that's not on the television. And so I think that's a valid point.
What was that?
Oh, sorry.
I sort of zoned out there as you were droning on and on. What were you saying?
Kind of dozed off. I said, there are some people in the church that you're never going to get the attention of because they're just lazy and good for nothing.
Yeah, I would think overall, people are oftentimes trying to find something to do. Busy people always have things to do. And it seems like if you want a job right. done, give it to a busy person because they'll get it done.
Yeah.
But I would tend to agree with that, as far as something, but I don't think that's unique. I don't think that's special, because whenever you read Spurgeon, he talks about people going to sleep in church and that need to be wakened out of their lethargy and that kind of stuff. I think that's something we've battled all the time. I don't think it's unique, but I do think the uniqueness is we've got a lot of technology to tickle the mind. And then we really think we're busy, and we're not. We're inert, and really our mind is on neutral, because we're just watching and listening. We're not really engaged.
Right. That's a great point. I think, too, that because our brains are so stimulated today through, you know, the computer and, you know, jumping from website to website and listening to podcasts and videos and all that. I think when people sit down in church and they just kind of relax and though they're watching the preacher, there's not so much going on. I think that does cause people to become a little well, weary.
And, yeah, and, I don't want to be a weirdo, but I wonder if there isn't something, you know, that some brainiac would be able to talk about, you know, about the programming. You know, we program our mind to be stimulated a certain manner, in a certain way. And so if you come to church and you're not stimulated in that programming of stimulation, you know, that sight and sound, you know, idea, if you're right. just talking, I mean, the Bible says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And, mm-hmm. you know, it means right. that the best, even the best sermons and best lessons engage your mind and causes you to be active in your mind, not in neutral, right. but active.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He makes a statement, I think it's awesome. He said the tricky task of the church in the 21st century is to lead people to awe, wonder, and worship without watering things down. I like that. We've got to get people back to where the awe is in the preaching. The awe is in the worship. The awe is in the God that we are worshiping. That's a great point.
Well, okay, so how do you do that? Because I have heard some phenomenal preachers. I mean, I would travel 5 states away to go hear them preach. And right. Some of those guys I've heard 30, 40 times, and they've rung the bell every single time I've ever heard them. And people in their churches right. are bored and say, well, we're going to go somewhere right. else. You know, I mean, I remember hearing about a very well-known preacher who on Sunday mornings preached a series through the Gospel of John. I think it took him almost 2.5 years to preach through Sunday mornings on the Gospel uh-huh. of John. I have that series. It's like 4 sets of, you know, giants, you know, sets of CDs. Every time I listen to it, I'm just dumbfounded yeah. and amazed. And during this series, he had about 4 or 5 people that left the church, and whenever they went and visited him, they were telling, you know, the associate pastors, they said, well, you know, there's more in the Bible than the Gospel of John, which sort of tells you 2 things. Number one, they weren't coming to Sunday night and Wednesday night because he wasn't on that then, you know. No. And number two, right. I don't care how good of a preacher you are, if a heart is a little bit hard and they don't want to hear it, they're not going to be, you know, in awe, you know.
Right. I think that also has to do with the idea of the boredom thing. It's that we do need stimulation. You know, we need something different. We need something different. And we've discussed that on this, that, you know, ideas that we've tried to have to keep things exciting. And I don't know how you bring people back to that. And like you say, I've been in churches of guys that I have been in, you know, impressed with and listened to and great. And I go to their church and they have like 300 people. And I thought, this guy must run like thousands, 300 people. And I'm like, wait a minute, with this preaching, this is what they have. And it kind of throws you a little bit. But yeah, it just goes to show you that if you hear the same person, the same voice, after a while, you do kind of, you lose some interest in that. And it's kind of like the mom dad thing where your mom says, you know, something, and the kids don't respond, and then dad says it, and they listen because it's
yeah,
a different voice.
I think that you're trying to hear a voice, and you're not trying to hear God. You know, I really do. I think you're right. trying to hear the, right. you're not trying to hear the Spirit, because I have gone to services, you know, different places where, you know, the speaker was pretty boring, you know, but I learned something, mm-hmm. and I said in my heart, thank you, Lord. I was glad to be here and hear this, you know.
Right. You're right. Let me give you this next one. Temptation to reinvent the wheel. And this is something, again, that we've discussed. This guy's been listening to us, I think. The boredom challenge leads to this challenge to rethink church every couple of years. And we even, I don't know if we did, I didn't do a podcast on it, but we talked about personally, you know, missions. And I said, I think we need to rethink our missions programs. I think we need to rethink how we do that. And that's part of that. Every couple of years, do we need to change? It's exhausting to read the scores of books that come out every year to provide new paradigm or prescription for a revived church, he says. I'll tell you what changes church: revival. That changes church. That makes it exciting. That makes it different. And I think we've got to get back to that idea that rather than what can we do, what can the Holy Spirit do to change our church and get our people in tune with that? And that's, I don't think most preachers are looking at that. They're looking at programs and are looking at ideas. And I did that. I got to be honest. I did that. I thought, you know, we'll do video announcements and we'll have a shorter song service and we'll change the order of the service rather than say, let's just pray as a church like crazy and ask God to get Amen. A hold of us. I'm guilty.
Yeah. So why do you do the things that you do? I mean, you know, I think that we do it because of Scripture, but you know, basically, you know, you personally, why do you run services the way that you do?
Part of it is that's what I was trained to do. That's what we've always done. And in past.
And we saw revival and we saw the effectiveness. So
right.
The effectiveness and the revival didn't necessarily come from the order of service, but we learned the order of service is not nearly as important as the hand of God, whether right. you want to call it the hand of God or a moving or, you know, revival or, you know, but we all know what we're talking about, you know, that uniqueness mm-hmm. and freshness of going and be overwhelmed. You're not overwhelmed by a sermon. You're overwhelmed by God.
Mm-hmm.
And you leave there saying, wow. Right. God really met with us today, and perhaps right. some of the reason that millennials are working so hard at changing all of these things is maybe it's been a long time that they've really seen that happen, and they haven't really experienced that like we got to experience that growing up, and therefore, you know, we threw our right. energies into wanting that to happen again.
Yeah, they've never seen it. Some have never seen that. My kids saw some great things in the early days of our church, but they never saw what I saw as a kid. They never saw yeah. what we saw, you know, working at Cleveland Baptist. They didn't see that, and they want that.
Yeah.
They're longing Amen. For that. They're trying to almost produce that, and that's not something you can produce. But at the same time, I would have to say that I think people were a little more godly. Here come the cops. I don't know if you can hear that, but the cops are screaming down the street here. I think that they don't know what else to do. And their walk with the Lord, though it's good, is not what the walk with the Lord used to be. Again, because of some of these other things we've discussed, the distractions, the need to post on, you know, social media, the need to watch videos, the need to all these other things. And we've just lost that innocency of just know God, walk with God, admit our sins, get right with God, and walk on. And I think that's, rather than complexity, we need simplicity in our lives. Anything else before I move on
no,
to the last
no,
one?
No, I think that's good.
Okay. So, and that kind of deals in with this one. The last one for this podcast is complexity. Related to our temptation to reinvent the wheels, the temptation to complicate Christianity and the church life. And I like that too. I think we've got to get back to, and he says, you know, focusing on core practices. Reading our Bibles, praying, soul winning, going to church. And I think it was Tom Sexton from Florida years ago said five things make a great Christian. You read your Bible, you pray, you go to church, you soul win, and you tithe. If you do those five things, you're a great Christian. If you take one of those away, you're a good Christian, but you're not a great Christian. Take two of those away, and you're a Christian, but you're not a good or great Christian, you start taking those other ones away, and you kind of lose out on the effectiveness of your Christianity. Hmm. So I think we need to get back to those core practices. That's a great, great thought. We're too complex. We've got basketball leagues, and we've got ladies' meetings, and we've got kids' programs, and we've got, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But I think we have so much of that, we almost miss the core idea. Why do we go to church? Why do you go to church, Brother Wolven? What's your purpose in going to church?
Well, I go to church to be fed and to grow. You know, now, I want God to produce a change in me every time I go to church.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, right. Obviously we're commanded, but that's really what I seek right. to happen in my life.
I think that we miss out, and I agree with you, but I think we miss out on this. The purpose of church really is to worship. It's to worship God. It's to look at Him and hear from Him. As you said in the reading and the feeding, it's just to, of ourselves, say, God, we love you. We've gathered together today to tell you that we want to be holy as you are holy, and we want to know you, and we want to give to you. You've given to us all week. We want to take some time and give to you.
So you mean the purpose of a church service is worship?
Service, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the simplicity of those things is missing in a lot of worship services. I think we've tried to do a lot of things to appease people or to entertain people or to keep people, some of those other things. Man, some really good points. Great, great article.
Let me put a caveat there. I don't think it's a great article because he talks about, you know, the evangelical church should become a little bit more Catholic. He talks about we need to focus on core practices and historic sacraments of the church. So the article itself is not a great right, article. Right. But I think that he is he brings up points that I think every one of us should consider as to what we're facing. You know, I mean, each church is going to face maybe things a little bit different. But, you know, so I know what you're saying. I just wanted to throw that in there so somebody doesn't, you know, take it and go,
right,
man, you know, Brett McCracken is nobody we ought to be following. So, but he brings some great, great insightful ideas here.
Right. Yeah. And that's the point I'm trying to make is that he got me thinking. He's got me thinking. And I don't agree. I don't agree with some of the stuff. Yeah. I said that from the beginning. But it definitely has got me thinking about some things. And it's interesting to me that somebody that I probably would not go to their church. I watched it online. I probably would not go to their church. It's super casual and super contemporary. But that crowd that we often think is, oh, man, they're getting people. They're drawing crowds, and people are going to that. They're saying the same thing we're saying. They're realizing that, yeah, we've got big crowds and we've got great music, but people are not getting what they really need. They're not where they should be in their Christianity. It's one thing to have a big crowd, but are they there to worship the Lord? Are they there to magnify the name of our holy God? Not very often sometimes. So,
well, you know,
those are some of those things.
That wow, group time has said they reinvented a wheel, and now they're talking about wanting to reinvent the wheel again. You know, I mean, because the danger is anytime you dumb things down and give less scripture, you're not really helping, you know.
And I think they reinvented the wheel, but it's still not turning right.
Right.
It's not true. So we just need to get back to the wheel that works. That's good. Wow. Another podcast in the books. And we will move on Wednesday. Let me give you just a little teaser of some of the things we'll look at, and you can be thinking about that for Wednesday. Consumer Christians, the temptation of homogeneity.
Homogeneity. Homogeneity.
That's a tough word for me.
It.
Yeah, that's a word I've never used. the authenticity or brokenness fallacy, the idol of autonomy. Some good things there to look at. Aversion to commitment, the struggle for balance, social media. So that's what we'll look at, Lord willing, on Wednesday. We hope that you'll be a part of that, be thinking about that. Again, if you have any articles or ideas that you'd like us to take a look at, we'd love to do it. I'm Al Stone from St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, and I will be heading home, Brother Wolven, a week from today to see my grandchildren.
Oh, by the time this airs, you'll be in Canada. Awesome.
Right, I'll be in Canada.
If they let you back in.
I'll be with my grandkids and life. If I get back in, if we test properly, if we don't have to go to the Gray Bar Hotel of... Hey, here's the real problem. I've got to come back to America in about 4 weeks. I got to come back in and go through this all again. So, crazy. Did you see, I'll leave you with this, did you see that in New York, if you want to go to a Buffalo Bills football game, you have to be vaccinated?
Yeah, some of them are starting that.
You have to buy a
ticket,
you have to have proof of vaccination. Yeah, so that's going to be the next thing. So a guy here in this church, his boss told him, I'll give you 2 weeks pay if you'll get vaccinated. So that's how they're doing it. So the incentives are on. So there you go. So I want you to know you don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to be vaccinated. You don't even have to wash your hands to listen to Tim Talks.
This is Dan Wolven sitting in my filth. Unwashed hands, unmasked person.
If you only knew.
So unvaccinated at this time.
That's right.
So glad you're here. Keep That's listening right. to us.
That's why we're always going to do a Zoom call. I don't have to be near you.
You can't handle being in person anymore.
You filthy animal. You filthy animal. That's funny, Brother Wolven. Awesome. This is Tim Talks. Have a great week. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.